Today we're in Proverbs. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to take the whole chapter today. This may be the only week as we go through Proverbs, we take a whole chapter, but it just tied so closely together as a whole that I wanted to take the whole chapter together. And so Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's a burgundy one in front of you. You can pull that out, and Proverbs is on page 526. Page 526. As you're turning there, let me give you a little background. This book, Proverbs, was compiled by a guy named Solomon. And Solomon's trying to pass wisdom down to his children. And this is kind of like him saying to his kids, here, I want you to know what I did right, what I did wrong. I want you to learn lessons from my successes and failures. And here's some wisdom, okay? And so that's where he gives us this today. And I'm going to start by reading verse 1 through 4. If you want to read along with me. He says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, we just come before you this morning and we humble ourselves. God, you're God and we're not. And Lord, as we think about that idea of fearing you, God, it's we just come before you now. We realize you created us, you gave us breath and life. And because of that, God, you also have the freedom to take it at any time. And so, Lord, we ask today that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we come to you admitting that we don't know all the answers, needing your wisdom. So, Lord, we ask today that you would just free us from the worries of the day, of the temptations of the devil, of anything like that, and that you would surround this room with your angels, and we'd be free to hear your words, and that it would penetrate our hearts and give us wisdom for living. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you got your listening guide, in each program there's a little listening guide you can follow along. Today it's the sheet with like 47 blanks to fill out. So we're going through the whole chapter, and there's a lot of wisdom in here, and I'm going to just kind of walk us through each couple of verses. And the first part of this, in verses 1 through 4, is what we must do. This passage is kind of like a if then passage. If we do these things that God counsels us to do, if we seek wisdom, if we humble ourselves to his teaching, if we seek after him, if we humble ourselves and seek him, then there are things he will do for us. Give us wisdom, give us knowledge, give us understanding, give us discernment, okay? So this first part is our part under point one. First thing is listen, treasure, and concentrate on wisdom. I guess the word that kind of sums all that up for me is teachable. Are you teachable when you go to the Word of God? Or do you go to the Bible with an agenda? Okay? I had somebody comment about a sermon last week that they had gone on a trip, and they texted me back and said, just want you to know your sermon on speeding was a hot topic on our trip. And I texted him back and I said, I didn't preach on speeding. I preached on wisdom. Maybe speeding was what they needed to hear, because it's what God was convicting me of with some things in my life. But your heart has to be pliable and open. If not, you'll go to the scripture to try to justify your decisions. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be a verse in here that tells my wife she needs to obey me, right? There's got to be a verse in here that tells my kids they never straighten up. I'll find it. There's got to be a verse in here that tells me I can go to my boss and give him what for. We want to try to find something that we want to hear. That's not the way God wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible as truth. He wrote the Bible to show us how to live a life full of wisdom and joy and love, but also truth. And there are some things, and we're going to look at them today as we pursue this wisdom. There are some things that come in direct conflict with the world today. And we have to be willing to have a teachable heart. We have to be willing to let other people and the Word of God and wisdom, we have to be willing to take all that in, filter it through the Word of God, and walk away with truth. Okay? So the second part of this, in verse 3 and 4 there, seek and ask for insight and understanding. Look at the verbs he uses. Cry out, ask, search, and seek. Okay? All of those are active things. If I were to tell you today, listen, there is $1 million buried out in the field next to us. If you open your Bible, there's a treasure map to get to it. Ready, set, go. How many of you would take off running? I mean, I would be, you know, wait until after the service was over, of course, myself. But I would definitely go looking for that $1 million. Well, today, Matthew chapter 4, in those burgundy Bibles in front of you, there's three people that I have stuffed a $20 or a $10 bill in. So if you got a Bible in front of you, pull out the Bible in front of you from the thing and see if, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew's in the New Testament. I didn't jot the page. Oh, yeah, I did. 801, page 801. Anybody got that Bible? Pull it out there. Oh, there's, all right, what'd you get, a 10 or 20? Okay, now, anybody get the 20? One, two, three. Oh, you got it? Sweet. All right, there's two. The other one, if you don't get it, I know where it's at. I'll get it later and have lunch at Chick-fil-A. All right. So if you won the money today, if you need it, keep it. Pay a bill with it. If you don't, share it or give it away. But here's my point. If every day God put a new $100 bill, I didn't pass out $100 bills, sorry. That would have been an expensive illustration. But if every day God put a new $100 bill in your Bible when you read it, would you read it every day? I would. I was thinking about this illustration. I was like, oh, Lord, why can't I be that faithful every day? It's because sometimes I forget that there's treasure in the Bible every day. And if I will seek it out, it is there. And it's wisdom that will guide me in all areas of finances and relationships and decision making. So why am I not as passionate to try to find that treasure of wisdom as I am treasure of money? Because money is tangible, right? It's right there. And I know I could spend it 15 minutes later with whatever I want. But wisdom goes so much farther and better. And the Word of God is chocked full of wisdom. So the first part of this message is what we must do. So you got to have an applicable, teachable heart. So as we look at the Word today and the next couple months over wisdom, your heart has to be pliable. You have to be willing to say, okay, I want to learn and be taught instead of wanting to go with an agenda to the Bible. Now this is dangerous, parents, because sometimes you're going to feel convicted and God's going to convict you to change some things you've been teaching your kids. This is going to be dangerous, senior adults, because you may have been living some way for 50 years. And as you're reading this, you may go, wow, I've got a lot of people I've got to call and apologize to. There have been things that I have read in the Scripture, and I'm like, oh, I know that's true, God, but I wish it wasn't, because I know I've got to change some things. You know what I'm saying? But when I do, that's where the then comes. So look at point number two. God will provide for us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. So when you're teachable and your heart is open and you pursue these things, verse 5 says, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. Don't we all need some of that? I know I do. And he's willing to grant it to us if we have fear of the Lord. Now, I preached on that the first 2 weeks. I'm not going to dive into it really deep today. I would just say to you, when you understand that God is God and you're not, and then you make a choice, a conscious choice, that you're going to Live by his principles instead of your own. It will adjust the way you see every decision. We live in a culture now that wants us to just be able to make up our own rules. Just whatever you decide is okay, as long as you don't hurt somebody else. And then if you do hurt somebody else, well, maybe that's okay too, because maybe they deserve to be hurt. We're just living in a culture right now that wants to throw out all the teachings of the Word of God and say, whatever feels good, just do that. God's Word doesn't say that. His Word tells us that we've got to be humble enough to be teachable and submit ourselves to the Word of God and listen. Okay? And then if we do, he's going to give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. And the next one he's going to give us is common sense and protection. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says, he grants us a treasure of common sense to the honest. He's a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. How many of you think we need a little more common sense in our country? Okay, this is a sermon that, man, as I preached at the first service, I was like, man, we're going to do some toe-stepping today, okay? We need some common sense in our country, okay? If all you do is listen to Fox, oh my goodness, you're going to have one perspective. And if all you do is listen to CNN, guess what? You're going to be on the completely opposite side of the other's perspective, and each of you are going to be taught to hate one another. I'm just telling you, I like to listen to both, and I know the truth is neither, but somewhere in the middle, because each of these folks have agendas. They all get advertising dollars, and they all have an agenda to sway you to whatever they're thinking. I had to quit listening to talk radio. If you can listen to it and not get angry, go for it. I had to quit listening to it because I just got so angry and always listen to what's broken and someone's opinion and just anger. Common sense says that there is truth somewhere in there, and we've got to listen to both sides. Matter of fact, you can jot this scripture down. This is a good one. This is just some of the very practical wisdom we have. Proverbs 18:7 says, the first to speak in court seems right until someone else comes forward and cross-examines. You ever had that happen? Where somebody comes to you and they are all upset. You won't believe what my sister said to me. You won't believe what she did to me. Why, she stole this, she did that, she did this. And you're just all fired up at that sister all of a sudden, right? And then you talk to the sister. She goes, that's not the way it went at all. Here's what really happened. And then they share their story. And you're like, oh, I could see it from your side and from their side. Folks, we need more common sense in the world. We have got to make a choice that we're going to love one another and that we're going to listen to both sides, and we're not going to blow everybody up on Facebook that disagrees with our opinion and try to make them feel stupid or hated. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everybody. I'm not saying that. But there is a common sense that comes with this. It says we're going to walk through this life and we're going to live on this planet with plenty of people that don't agree with my opinions or with the opinion of the Word of God. How then am I going to live and treat them? With the respect and the love that Christ has treated me, or with the condemnation that the Pharisees treated Christ? I believe that we need that common sense. And Proverbs 17:28 says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. That might be something I need to put above my Facebook page. Even fools are thought wise when they remain silent. There are times that we just need to stay silent until we've prayed about, not sometimes, every time. Let me challenge you this. Every time before you go opinionating and making statements, you need to pray. You need to go to the Word of God and see what it says, and then post something with the goal of benefiting those who are listening, not the goal of winning an argument. The goal is not for you to be right. The goal is for righteousness to be displayed in love. Okay? So common sense and then protection. And if you do that, Listen, I've got people, and they totally disagree with me on different scales of political correctness and all kinds of things. But when my enemies say things, I'm grateful that somebody recently basically said, I disagree with all that you say, but I appreciate the way that you said it. I'm like, that's a great compliment. I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not going to agree with everybody in this room. I've been with my wife 24 years. We don't agree on everything. But I'm still going to treat her with respect and love when we disagree, right? That's what I'm called to do. And I believe that the longer you do that, the more your testimony's out there, the more you'll be protected when others come to slander you. Because even those who disagree with you will chime in and say, hey, that's not the way I found Steve Taboo. I know I disagree with him on this too, but he's always been a respectful person. He's always dealt with me fairly. We disagree, but we still respect and love one another. We need more common sense. We've got to seek him and be humble and be teachable. Next thing we need is direction to live righteously. Verse 9 says, then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. Right, just, and fair, and then you'll determine the right way to go. If we will seek God and we'll be teachable, and then we will seek the truth, not in everyday pop culture trying to give us the answer, but start here. Start with the Word of God and seeking His truth from His Word. That's where truth comes from. That's where the answers come from. That's where clarity and direction to live righteously. The world has opinions all over the place, depending on where you live as to what is righteous and unrighteous. God's Word has been true for over 2,000 years, translated in almost every language. And its righteousness affects all cultures where it's at. Well, verse 10 and 11. What else does God offer? Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you and understanding will keep you safe. Now, here's what's interesting. When you follow God's ways, it talks about having safety and joy. And there's a lot of decisions that this is true. If you follow God's principles for finances, then you won't be stressed over finances. And you won't be arguing and fighting. You know, the number one reason for divorce is finances. And so if you're living by God's financial principles that are in the scriptures, that takes the number one reason right out. Number two reason is for affairs. Wow, you just took out number one and number two if you follow God's word. But the world wants to tell you, hey, it's a new day. Everything's free, and as long as you're not hurting somebody, what's the big deal if you have an open marriage? What's the big deal if you have many relationships before marriage? What's the big deal, whatever it is? God's word says it's a big deal. With his wisdom comes safety. As you live out his principles, comes safety. Parents, as you live out his word day to day in front of your children, they're going to see that, and they're going to be protected as well because you're teaching them the right way, and you're living it. The hardest thing is when you live a life, and there's something there that you choose to reject his wisdom on, and then you see it happen in your own kid's life or your grandkid's life because you didn't address it in yours. And then you see it in your child, and then you see your grandchild in a totally different place, or your niece or your nephew, because of something you've said or you've lived out. Now, you don't have to stay there. You can repent. That's what Christ teaches. We'll get to that in a minute. But if you want the wisdom and safety, you have to live under his principles. Next one's protection from evil. Verse 12 says, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong and they enjoyed the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. Last week we talked about staying away from the paths of evil. What path is it that leads you to evil? Everybody's path may be different. Your temptation may not be my temptation. You could put me in a room with all the best alcohol in the world, and I would not be tempted to get drunk. I don't like the flavor. I don't like the taste. I'm so grateful that it's always just repulsed to me. I don't have that desire. But for you, that might be your temptation. For others, it might be materialism. You might be the person that, man, you struggle because you see the bling bling and you got the plastic and all you want to do is have the new bling bling and you're so high up in debt that, man, that's your path. And you need to go cut up all your credit cards and you need to not walk in those paths. You don't need to take strolls through Kohl's, you know what I'm saying? You don't need to be doing that. That's your path of destruction. I know what my path is. Beautiful. Good looking, hot, 1957 Chevy convertible. I'm just telling you, man, that's a car that I could lust after right there. When I went to Cuba, somebody said to me, hey, you got to watch out. You know, it's a hot culture and there's a little bit less clothing. I'm like, I'm worried about the fact that every taxi is a 57 Chevy. And I'm going to be like drooling over all these cars. I got to focus on Jesus and people, not a car. Now, don't get me wrong. I think you laughed because the next thing here is protection from sexual immorality. That's the next one. Now this is the dad, and he's trying to give his son wisdom. He's trying to set him up for success. And we somehow have stopped teaching this to our children and our grandchildren and our culture. We used to really believe that the best plan was to wait until you were married. Now we seem to think the best plan is just to pass out contraceptives because we say it's just going to happen anyway. We seem to think that the best plan is just, hey, as long as you're safe, have you done any studies on where STDs are today? No, it's not working, folks. When I had a consultation with a doctor one time, they're like, well, we need to test for this and this. I was like, you got to know, there's no need. There's been one woman in my life and one man in her life, and it works. It works. God's plan works. It brings us joy. We don't have to worry about somebody else. Now, I'm not here to beat you down if you've got a past. We've all got a past, okay? I'm not here to beat you down if in your past you lived a certain way. I'm here to warn you about the future. I'm here to warn you about living a life of righteousness so that you get the wisdom and the joy. I will tell you in my past, I will be transparent with you. When I was in college, I was addicted to pornography. And I had friends who said to me, Steve, it's just what every guy does. It's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say it's wrong. But I knew in my spirit it was wrong. But my friends didn't really have a problem with it. But when I would get on my knees and get before Jesus, I knew he had a problem with it. Because you see, in Scripture, the Bible says that if I was to look upon a woman and lust after her, I've committed adultery in my heart already. And in my time of prayer, the Lord revealed to me that's sin. Whether it's lusting after a picture or lusting after someone else on the beach, God's intention is for one husband, one wife, for life. Here's what it says. He's giving wisdom to his son here. He says, now that's why he's warning about the immoral woman, because it could be the moral woman or the moral man, but his instruction is to his son in this passage. He says, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the path of life. Boy, it's kind of like, could you imagine if you were headed across town and you had to drive over the 111 bridge, you know, going over into Augusta? Could you imagine if the bridge was out? And you get there and you stop just in time. and the bridge is out, and you see these other cars coming, and you run out, and you're trying to wave them down, going, hey, don't go. The bridge is out. Stop. Can you imagine how many would just go, what an idiot. Everybody knows the bridge isn't out. Just drive right off that cliff. You know what I'm saying? Folks, that is what he's trying to say to his son. He's trying to warn him. He's trying to warn his son and say, listen, the bridge is out to what the world says. It's not okay to be with a promiscuous person. It's not okay to be a promiscuous person. God has an intention, son. His intention, one man, one woman for life, period. Now, we want to bend those rules. We want to stretch them to whatever convenience we want in the moment. We want to stretch them to say, well, as long as I love the person, what does it matter what the government says? You know, we live in a day where it was just a couple years ago that births outside of marriage surpassed births within marriage. And we've come to a place where marriage isn't honored in the culture. It's almost mocked and rejected. But God set it up. And we need to teach our children, our nieces, our nephews, our cousins, our brothers, we need to teach them that God has a plan. And so I'm just going to call it out. We just need to reject anything that is sexually immoral. And when I say pornography, I'm not just talking to men, I'm talking to men and women. The fastest group of porn users now that's growing quickest is women. We can't choose a cheap substitute for what God has given as a gift. Sex before marriage. Bible calls it fornication. It is where you are choosing to take the gift God has given you for marriage and you're choosing it to share it with anybody. Maybe not anybody. Maybe it's just one or two people. But it's not God's plan. And guess what? When you have sex with someone, it unites them in your brain. There are chemicals that go off and they unite you in a special bond. That's why it's so hard just to walk away until you get to the point where you live it over and over again to the point that you become so callous that you're not even listening at all. And then perhaps you're married and you're in this perspective where open marriage, I've heard this more and more recently. I've got an open marriage. My wife doesn't mind. Really? And that's what you want for your daughter who's 16 right now? You want her to have an open marriage where she's just dating and marrying and sleeping around with whoever she wants? It's amazing when men start thinking of their 16-year-old daughters. It's amazing how their character wants to change how they want that boy to act towards their daughter versus how they themselves want to act. I need an amen out of that one. I'm just saying, listen, God wants us to live righteously because he wants us to have joy and wisdom and be protected. We as adults have to set the example for the next generation. You're living with somebody outside of marriage. It's a sin. If you're living in a homosexual relationship, it's a sin. If you're having sex with somebody before you're married, it's a sin. If you're looking at pornography, it's a sin. If you're married, according to 1 Corinthians 7, if you're married and you're withholding sex from your spouse, that's a sin. It says except for prayer and fasting. I'm pretty sure you can only pray and fast so long. Pretty sure there's time in there somewhere that you could spend some time with your spouse. So why do I say this? I am not here to beat anybody up in this room. I am here as somebody that has been addicted to sexual sin in college saying to you, it drug me down to the path of hell. It held me captive and kept me in a broken relationship with God and with other people. And it was a shameful snapshot and a pale comparison to what God intended for marriage within a family. It's just, and until I was willing to recognize it as sin and confess it before God and turn away from it, I didn't get free. And so I'm telling you today, in your life, I don't know where you've been in the past and I don't care. I want to care about the fact that you can have a future of wisdom and righteousness and purity moving forward now. But it takes courage. Jesus put it this way. Flip over to Luke chapter 9. I want to wrap up with this. Luke chapter 9, because sometimes I get people saying, well, you know, that's the Old Testament, Steve. That's the Old Testament. Listen, you think the Old Testament was strong worded. Look at what Jesus says in Luke 9. It says, then he said to the crowd, verse 23, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Stop there for just a second. What is your own way? I'll tell you what my own way would be without Jesus. It would be a guy that's all selfish, doing what I want to do when I want to do it, not caring about other people. That's my own way. For sexual immorality, it'd probably be pornography. Might be cheating on my wife. If I had it my way, I would do what I want when I want to. And Christ said that is not his way. His way is to deny ourselves. Take up our cross daily. That means every day I get up, I'm going to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to do it your way today. I'm going to do it your way. I don't like this part of your way. It's inconvenient. You want me to be honest? I had somebody close to me one time make fun of me when I sold a car because I went around and told the guy everything that was wrong with the car. And this person said to me, I said, you don't have to be that honest. I said, listen, when I buy a car, I want somebody to do that for me. And the Bible says do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, right? Okay, so it's not always convenient. That's what Jesus is telling us. He says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. The church is to be a hospital. Okay? Meaning, if you walk through the doors today and you're walking in sin, we're not here to judge you or condemn you. But we are here to point out the fact that there's a cancer in your life called sin. And we want to help you by providing a way to cut it out so that you can be healed. Because sin will destroy your life. And if you're here today and you've got that cancer, let me just say to you, we all do. Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're not throwing stones today. But we are offering some window repair. We are offering an opportunity to have freedom in Jesus Christ with forgiveness and mercy and grace. The last point there says, live for a godly legacy and for grandkids. Not for yourself, but for the next generation. I want to ask you if you would to bow your head with me. If you're here today and God's speaking to your heart, I don't know what about. He may be speaking to you about materialism or greed. He may be speaking to you about the fact that he's invited you to follow him and you keep telling him no. He might be speaking to you about the fact that you've embraced the wisdom of the world and you've been spouting that off and supporting it, and he may be convicting you of that. I don't know. But here's what I know. God's wisdom is good. He wants you to have the most joyful life ever. But you have to die to yourself to get there. You have to surrender to him to get there. If God's speaking to your heart right now, then I want to invite you to pray a prayer of commitment to him once and for all. A prayer that you're going to turn away from that sin that you're walking in, and you can turn towards him completely surrendered. If God's speaking your heart, then pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me now. Dear God, today I surrender everything. God, please forgive me for the sins of my past. Today, I give my life to you. I ask that Jesus would save my soul and wash me clean of all my sin. And I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.